TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. But we were talking about Mark Hamby, Dr. Hamby, and I don't believe he's a false prophet, but I am saying that he got a word that was from heaven.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that the second word might be a little bit, different. And I had a few second words before. You ever had a second word before?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
I've had
you pull, it's like a first word is like, you can like, man, and you just build, and you got this cookie cutter shape like the first word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get ready to whack the next piece of cookie dough and go, I got this puppy, bam! And it just like, what happened? It didn't work. Because it's a proceeding word.
Yeah.
It's a proceeding word. It's fresh. And, but the word that it's amazing is he wrote it out in a book called We Have Not Many Fathers. And that's what in 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, Paul talks about it. The Apostle Paul is, we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. For I am your father in Christ Jesus. And the revelation just builds. And that even Jesus didn't even start his own ministry until his father publicly affirmed him, their relationship, and his pleasure with him. Two very important things. This is my son who's in good standing with me. This is my son. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then you need a spiritual father going, you need to hear what he's saying. Have you been over to his ministry? Have you shown up at his church? That type of thing. And the reason why is because God knew what Jesus would do, and when Paul was talking about it, he knew what Timothy would do, because and then Jesus says, imitate me. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father told him to do.
Yeah.
And what did Paul? Paul said, imitate me. What did Timothy do? He did what Paul taught him to do, because he said, go and let them know about the pattern I teach everywhere in every church. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to that. But in this revelation, it's about family and father. It's just very powerful. But one thing that I just heard recently, I think John and I heard him saying last night, was, and he's tapping into the sounds of heaven that we've been tapping into. It looks like for some time we've been tapping into it and trying to hear clearly about what God is doing in this generation. And it was pretty it was a lot of harmony with a lot of harmony, and kind of hearing the same thing. And one specific thing is that people took that revelation and they put it in the context of the old wineskin.
Yeah.
They took the original revelation that it's father, son, order in the church from the beginning. It's my son Adam, and then my son second Adam. Jesus the second Adam. And that and you can take what God's doing and you can try to stick it into your cookie cutter that was the first word, the what was working for you in the past,
right?
And destroy them both, because a new revelation, a new wine requires a new wineskin. You got to be willing to shed off the old skin. And the thing about it is, if we're not willing to shed it off, then it's not God anyway, because what we're saying is, that's mine,
right?
That's mine. I can't let it go. And it's like, really? Then that wasn't God all this time? All this time that you've been preaching at me and teaching at me and telling me we need to do this and do that and all that, you're not willing to let it go?
Right.
This is your kingdom. This is not God's kingdom then. Mm. Right? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because if you're following God, you just want to go wherever the cloud is moving.
And he loves to say, take the boy to the top of Mount Moriah. Didn't we do that four times? Have we done that four times already? And you kind of give that look to everybody. Go, oh, he's going to Mount Moriah. We don't know if we're going to come back with the boy or not, but praise God, he's going to,
going to the mountain.
Going to the mountain. And that boy better hope he hears from God. Right?
Exactly.
I never a son was more glad than his son that he heard from the Lord. He had a father that can hear from God, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you hear God? Have you heard a word yet? No, not yet. Just tie your hands up and get it on top of the wood. Dear God, talk to my dad. The church is the church is the church. I mean, which is people. The church is mm-hmm. people. If you don't know this, it's probably a shocker. You can go back and listen to hold on for a moment. If you haven't heard this, that the church is actually people. It's not a building. Brace yourself for this. And just pause for a moment and just pause. Just say, okay, just you know, take what you thought it was and put it aside in a safe place because you have to go grab it again. And go, oh my goodness. And you can pull it back out again and look at it. But just put it there and then step outside of the 4.5% of the world's population, America, and then look around the world and say, well, if this thing that I have in this secure box is the church, then what do they have? Because all they have is an oak tree. Mm. You know, all they have is a cave.
Yeah.
All they have is this back area.
Mm-hmm.
All they have is this place where they throw a blanket over their heads when they gather so nobody can see them, and they whisper when they talk, and they put guards outside wherever they're at so they don't hear, people don't hear. I mean, if this crystal cathedral that I got locked out of my box is the church, what do they have?
Mm.
Or the question is, if that's the church, 95% of the world, right, population, if right. that's the church, then what is this? And I love the way that if you have a, this is how he gave the analogy, Dr. Hamby did, about, imagine a cannonball or a cannon that was on a warship, you know, a couple hundred years ago, and it drops down in the ocean. And, you know, Pat and I had a privilege to go down diving and see and some things, what happens in that nature. We have yet to get John underwater.
No, not yet.
It was a very short baptism.
When we go to Mexico, maybe.
We ain't going there unless they, we could. It might be.
I know that's what
are
I
you? Think. You're probably hearing that. I think didn't somebody show up with a word at your home with that to go to Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
No, it was just buy my truck. Let's go to Mexico. And so once it's down there for a long time, all these barnacles and all this growth and it just starts piling up. You have one layer of this barnacles and stuff that gets on
coral,
and it attaches itself to the cannon. And that may die off or whatever, but then another layer of coral and barnacles will get on top of that one.
Mm.
And then it would just builds over the years. So finally you got this big ball of barnacle and coral and you pass over it, you know, as a diver or something, you're thinking, wow. But somebody who understands how things work, they say, you know, there might be something there other than what you're looking at. And so when they bring this big, huge, what they perceive to be just might be the church. I mean, it might be a cannon. You know, they pull it up, and it's just one big wad of whatever that is that attached itself over the seasons to the cannon. Then they start cleaning it up. There could be treasure in there. We need to find out what's really it, because what we're looking at, it's just stuff that attached itself to the original thing, but the original thing is still there. We just got to find the simplicity of the church. We got to find the church again. Where is the church in all this? And besides, all this stuff costs money, and it costs time, and it costs effort, and it costs energy. And we need to say, you know, where is the temple? Where is the building of God? Where is, you know, and then we got to ask that question, you know, where is the cannon? We're digging and we're chipping. We're trying to be careful. Because we don't want to hurt the church. I mean, we don't want to hurt the cannon because the cannon's important. But we got to get all this other stuff off. So you got to be real careful when you're trying to separate, you know, the what's attached itself to the church from the church, which is the body of Christ. And how you got to look at it. And when you find out, when you find the cannon, it's a lot smaller than it was to begin with. But it is the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not all this stuff, all this burden and everything. Its purpose is revealed. And when the church is all that, we get rid of all this stuff. And I think we're about to go through a purging season that's going to begin to just cause these things to fall off. And a lot of things that you've lived your life for. I mean, you lived your life for, that you brought people to, that you promoted, that you paid for, that you took pledges for, that you talked about, that you bought little lapel pins and gave to everybody for, and all this different stuff, that that stuff might not make it. But it's okay if it's not the church, isn't it? It's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, because all you want is the church. You don't want anything extra. Because when the churches start being the church, this is what we're called to do. Okay, second brace. Second brace, okay. Don't forget you got the other thing locked up safe, so you can grab it out and look at it and go, okay, I see this thing. I didn't leave it. It's still there. This is what we're supposed to do as the church, is that the leaders in the church are supposed to look at the believers in the church and see the call of God on their life and the giftings in their life and the character that needs working on, and the need to be able to be taught the things and the commands of God, and to be able to walk up and mature the body so that they can do the work that they're called to do. We're supposed to actually seek out those who don't know God, preach the gospel that they could be saved, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them to the teachings of Jesus so they can obey them, so that they are a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Then we're to send them out into the world like sheep amongst wolves, tell them to be as wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and stay related to them as the family we are in the body of Christ. And they are to be accountable as they go out, just like Paul and Barnabas came back and reported to their church in Antioch of all the things that they were doing. And the kingdom advances when we do this. Mm. Is this dangerous? It always has been. It's always been dangerous. Jesus said, look out, watch out for men, right?
That's right.
And he said, when they arrest you. You know, when they arrest you. I mean, we're so got so many barnacles on us and so many things we've attached to ourselves that when things that Jesus said would happen, we don't have a grid for it. And we begin to judge the very fruit of what happens when somebody follows God and does what Jesus says. Because we can't even see the canon. Mm-hmm. We can't even see it. And so we're thinking, oh my goodness, people are talking bad about him or talking bad about her. That must mean that they're not of God. It's like, I know you're probably part of the 82% that hadn't read your Bible lately. But don't start in Genesis, swing on up and start in the gospel, start in Matthew. Matter of fact, start in John and then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to soak that and realize that that's going to happen. We're going to be treated at least the greatest amount of treatment that we can expect that's good from the world is up until how Jesus was treated. We're not going to be treated any better than Jesus was treated, right?
Right.
A student will not be treated better than his teacher.
Right.
And so let's say, okay, he was liked by some, hated by others, betrayed by many, and beat, lied on, and crucified, right? Mm. And so it just wasn't necessarily, you know, but look what happened. It was awesome. And so I want to encourage you to become that person who finds the kingdom of God, or finds, it's like a man that finds a treasure. He finds a cannon buried in a field, but he don't know it's a cannon yet. It's all filled with barnacles and stuff. But you're hearing what I'm saying, and it's bearing witness to you, and you're ready just to clean your canon, you're ready to go through the process of separating what is of God and what's of man. Because first of all, you know, what's of man is not going to stand. It's all going to be tested by fire. And I think the fire is coming now. It's going to separate all this stuff, the wheat. It's going to separate the hay, wood, and stubble from the true work of God. Mm-hmm. And I always said, Lord, take it. I'm tired. Take the hay, wood, and stubble. If I'm spending my energy and my time on hay, wood, and stubble, dear Jesus, please, I am too tired right now. I want it to be meaningful. I want the work to be lasting. And I've always prayed that the Lord would take it away now instead of just building, you know, something else.
A bigger bonfire.
Yeah, bigger bonfire. And so in the context of that, just begin to think. And let me tell you something, that the church is the body of Christ. Walking in obedience to Jesus is a good thing. It's an exciting thing. It is an amazing thing. It is, it's what you were created for. It's your destiny. And religion and barnacles and coral, things that grow on that. It's not. That's not. Mm-hmm. And as men, we have a tendency to allow things to attach itself to the original intent of what we were doing. And we can go back and just constantly, which time of fasting and prayer and just cleansing that out of our life and being willing to let things go. And that's how you know, if you're not willing to let it go, then you're not even holding it. It's holding you. Mm. It's holding you. And I think a separation's coming. So Hamby was talking about this and about this. I don't know if I'm all in what I was kind of hearing, but I understood the gist of, I'm for the gist of what he's saying is that, you know, it's time for us to get back to what the Word of God says. And it says what it says. And if, and it's this sort of like this, imagine this book of laws that says the speed limit is this, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. And in that, there's also a particular law called grace and called mercy. And that when you understand how these things coexist, that the expectations of God, the love of God, the lavished grace upon our lives, and the mercies of God, because grace is not getting, is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve, mm-hmm. which means when we're walking with God in obedience to God and looking at his commands, this book of laws, looking at his commands, that we understand that, you know, we're not going to be perfect at it, but we're not going to avoid looking at it just because we're not perfect at it, because he has all the grace and mercy I need in my time of need, and I can approach the throne of grace with boldness because he can empathize with what I'm going through right here, and he will empower me if I abide with him to walk in his word, mm-hmm. hide his word in my heart, and begin to just do, you know, what he says. And he says very, very specifically through James is that, and you'll be blessed in all that you do. Mm-hmm. He said, don't, you know, many people are merely deceived. These are the people that look at God's word and they don't do what it says. Mm-hmm. But if you look at God's word intently and study it and do what it says, he says, you'll be blessed in all you do. We need to go dig for this treasure. Dig, realize this is what I'm telling you, that it's the kingdom of God, and imagine it buried in a field. Everything that you're doing that's not of God, you know, just sell it, get rid of it, and go and buy that entire field and say, I'm going to stay here till we whittle this cannon out, because this generation's going to know God, and God's name's going to be glorified in the earth, and it's going to be a great outpouring in this day that's going to bring in a great harvest for the next generation.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can your kindergartner be told they cannot share a song with the class because it mentions Jesus? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
A couple of weeks ago, my son's in the kindergarten. The teacher allowed a couple other students to sing a song that they wanted to share with the class. A couple of days after that, my son went up to the teacher, asked to share a song about Jesus, and she basically said, no, we can't do that at school.
Well, that's incorrect. If it's if the students are allowed to perform music and it's music of their choice, your son should have been able to sing the song about Jesus. We've had dozens of cases of those over the year, and the teacher's just absolutely incorrect. It's not only an overreaction, she's wrong on this. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll get you in touch with our legal staff and get some help to you right away.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So amazing, you know, just everything that the Lord is showing us. And I so enjoyed yesterday's program. If you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you got to go to VFNTV.com and select the torch and listen to the power of God. It separates the talkers from the walkers, those walking with God as Jesus did. And it just reminded me of just, you know, some of the things the Lord has already told us. And one of the things that the Lord shared with me during my, you know, some time I just spent with the Lord about the Apostle Paul. You know, we talked about the Apostle Paul yesterday, about him being, you know, just a man that was just a great pioneer. Actually, we talked about this in a previous program. But a pioneer for God, he was a flame. He was a torch that shook a city. And I was reading in Acts chapter 19 that Paul goes to Ephesus, and one man, Greg,
one
shakes an entire city for God.
Including the economy. Remember?
I mean, wrecked house.
He shifted the economy.
Yes.
Where they were buying idols and Diana and the blessed house comes down.
Demetrius says, he gets the craftsmen, he gets the tradesmen together. And he says, listen, we've got to, I'm paraphrasing, it's just verse 23, but it says, we got to do something about this guy, Paul.
Yeah.
We got to do something about him. He says, look, this is not good for business. This is not good for business. And they're making these crafts and these
exactly.
shrines.
Exactly. That's exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
It affected the economy. Yeah.
And in verse 26, he says, and you hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus. And in practically the whole province of Asia, he says that man-made gods are no gods at all. This is a danger not only to our trade, but to the good name of this temple, of this goddess at all. It's like, come on. I mean, one message.
Many Americans would say this. They would say, but you don't understand. This is how I make my money. Mm-hmm. And then God revealed, that's not the way to make your money. That's actually sin.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Making those idols that they
exactly.
were making.
And that's the question Rick has to stand. You want to make money and live in sin, or do you want to choose God? You know, we have to make some serious decisions in our lives. If we're going to go on with God, we can't have sin and God too. So he's sharing with these craftsmen and these guys these tradesmen who are making this stuff, and all of a sudden they get so upset, they get so stirred up that they break out into a riot. I mean, this is like they're going to town. And in fact, the word says that this riot lasted for 2 hours at least, because all they kept doing was shouting, you know, this goddess Artemis.
You know, many would say, well, obviously that's not God. Look at all the strife and the economies.
Yeah.
You know, the people are losing their jobs. This couldn't be God.
Yeah.
And it was so God.
So God.
Yeah.
Because here, Paul, he's just being a torch. When you talk about a man that came and just, you know, so many people make excuses. You hear excuses sometimes about the gospel and going into the harvest field. And it's like, wait a minute. This was one man who was willing to obey God, one man who was willing to not come in persuasive and enticing words and gimmicks and all this type of stuff, but was willing to preach the word, the full gospel of God, not with persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power. And he was a lightning rod that literally rattled a city. So when you think about what is it that Paul did that, you know, what did Paul do to shake the city? Well, the beginning of chapter 19, one of the first things he does in verse 2 is he arrives and he finds out that there's believers in the city, and he begins to ask them, hey, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so they said, no, we don't even know about the Holy Spirit. So he lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, it goes on to say that Paul continues to go into the synagogues, and he's teaching and preaching and just sharing the word of God. Then later on, it talks about how he discipled, basically, the ones that were in Ephesus and were followers of the Lord. For 2 years, he stayed planted. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't show up and go to another city and get another word and just, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he stayed there. He was willing to disciple the believers there for 2 years. And then the word says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. extraordinary miracles. And verse 12 says, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and the illnesses were cured, and the spirits left them. We're talking about the power of God, the word of God, and one man willing to stay in the city, one man willing to go to a people group, one man willing to stay planted and say, no, for this hour, you know, for this hour. And if you know earlier in that chapter, this is where we talk about the sons of Sceva. You know, they tried to do what Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They tried to do what Paul did, and it worked for a little while.
They did it in Paul's name instead of Jesus' name.
And the demon responds, Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who are you? Who are you? And the thing is that Paul's name was known in hell. You know what I'm saying? Mm.
And the thing about it, this same Jesus, this same kingdom that was in Paul, is in every believer.
Yes.
We have everything that we need. All we need then is faith in what we already have in God. Not faith for things and stuff, but faith to be able to say, you know, God, I want to live for eternity. I want to live not for this vapor, but I want to live my life for you. And I want to imitate those that have gone before me. I believe, Lord, that greater is you that's in me in this city than all this stuff in this city, and that you can shake this city and they can hear the gospel and they can see the evidence of the power of the kingdom and give them an awesome chance to be able to say yes to God. And quite often, you know, people, especially in you know, America, everybody expects to win. They just expect to win. Everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't matter. You're wondering, like, do we still get a trophy? We were, like, sorry as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, we got a trophy? And you got people talking about trophies today. It's like, dude, you didn't deserve that trophy. That was, like, you know, we didn't deserve
a pizza. Participation trophy.
We would go to, like, Shakey's Pizza or something, and it was just terrible. We define the kingdom of God like the kingdom of men. And the truth is that even Jesus, when he went to Chorazin, he is God. He did everything the Father told him. He is the kingdom of God. You know, he's the king over the kingdom. He is accurate in everything he said. He's a sinless man, all God. He perfectly executed the truth in Chorazin. And they didn't receive him.
Mm-mm.
One particular, I'm saying that because a lot of people say, well, I tried that, and they said no. It's like, well, then don't change your message. Change your audience.
That's right.
Don't keep trying to talk to somebody that said no. He says, dust your feet off.
Yeah.
So you can, what you're talking about, you can go in with the power of God into a city and begin to demonstrate and preach the kingdom.
Look, when these demons went crazy on the sons of Sceva, the word of God says that great fear seized the city, and the name of Jesus was held in high honor.
Awesome,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a demonstration of the Spirit's power. They said, wait a second. What is happening? When the sorcerers, they said they came and burned up their scrolls.
Right.
They came, you know, and that's what we need. We need that all of us, believers, can be in the harvest to be preaching and sharing the word of God so that people will turn.
So sons of Sceva, that they were a sign.
Yes.
You know, God is a God of signs and wonders. You really don't want to be the sign, and you don't want people to wonder. But God has a way of allowing us to be those things so that other people, if it benefits the overall good of the family, you know, so be it. You know, be it. I'm going to be talking about, you know, in a while about living, the regrets of living a safe life. Paul did not live a safe life.
He was out on the edge.
He's on the edge because he's advancing something.
Yeah.
He's on the edge of what is, taking what is further than what it is, which means you got to be facing nothing and believing God and advancing something that isn't. He's forcefully advancing the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And he successfully did it. I mean, it's the Gentiles. Hello, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the word of God spread all over the city. It spread all over the province. You look at Paul's life and ministry, the word of God just spread everywhere.
Right.
And it gives us great hopes today.
Yes.
We everything that Paul was equipped with, we're equipped with today. Nothing else has to happen for the same signs and wonders to occur and for the gospel to continue to advance, for people to know the Lord. I mean, you're talking about storms. We're talking about all these things that are happening. Today is the day of salvation. I mean, today is the day that people need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there's many people that are searching, that are looking. Don't be convinced by those that are not turning. Let me tell you, many people today are turning their hearts to God, but you're going to find them in the harvest. You're not going to find them on the couch. It's the truth, right?
Oh, dear God. Yeah, and there's nothing more boring than living a safe life anyway. I mean, they got people doing crazy things just to get excitement. And the truth is, living for God is very exhilarating. You're not trying to go out and do anything in addition to feel like you need some more risk. If you're living on the edge with God to advance His kingdom, you've got probably all the excitement you can handle plus some.
Right.
And it's totally amazing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, you can carry us with you everywhere you go with our app. You can go to VFNTV.com and download our app. We have it for all the different devices that are out there. And you want to be encouraged, turn on. You want to change your workplace. You want to change the atmosphere of your home. Turn on VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just let it go. Just let it go and just begin to watch things change with your children. Watch things change in your life and with your marriage and your business and your workplace. And I'm telling you that the truth sets you free.
That's
and
right.
It sets your business free. And it's just a conversation. If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how He says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, it's not what we say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who He is in our life. And so much, it's easier these days to say a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fruit and the action that really says it all. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks a really important question. I mean, Jesus is asking a question. Mm-hmm. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I mean, that's startling. If Jesus is going to ask you a question, I'm saying, I don't want it to be that one.
Yeah, not that one.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, but you don't do what I say? And you can imagine, I mean, Jesus was talking to crowds all the time. I mean, people followed Jesus everywhere. They came from, I mean, long distances. They would travel for hours just to be an earshot of Him. He was extremely popular. And we don't have to look past one particular account to really imagine what was it like when He shared, when He fed the 5,000. Remember that, when He fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 5,000 men that were gathered.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 besides women and children. Wrap your mind around that. He healed them. He prayed for them. And you could imagine him, some guy standing up. I said, I'm not leaving until he touches me. I'm going to stay in this line.
Yeah.
There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. He had compassion on them. He prayed for them, healed them. Then the disciples said, you guys got to feed these guys here. And this is, you know, they're a long way from home.
Yeah.
They traveled out here logistically. And so Jesus, you know, was familiar with crowds. There's a lot of people crowding and coming around the Lord. And think about it. There's still large crowds today surrounding the Lord that appear to be going after Jesus. And the truth is that you can fool some people some of the time. You may be able to fool yourself sometimes as well. But there's one person that you'll never be able to fool, and that is God. And so it's an important question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And if it's true in the time of when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, if Jesus had to ask the question when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, believe me, I probably still think it's true for some today.
Yeah.
That there are those who call Jesus Lord, and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey God's word. And I believe one of the reasons this is happening is because there has been a no lordship gospel being preached. And it basically says that, hey, listen, just accept Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Just accept him as your savior. And, you know, essentially, you know, that's all you got to do. I'm not really saying in all those particular words, but don't worry about living for him or reading his word or obeying what he says, because all you have to do is just believe.
Right.
Think about that. Let me tell you, we need to preach the full gospel, the full message that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is one. He is Savior and Lord. And listen, if you're not ready to accept him as Lord, but let me tell you, then you're not ready to accept them as Savior. You know what I'm saying? They're one and the same. It's like someone, it's like, you know, if you're not ready to be committed to only one person when you marry, and you want to be with others too, you're not ready to be married.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're not ready to be married. What woman wants to be with a husband like that? And what husband wants to be with a woman like that? A wife like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call that thing, they call that an open relationship. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And if you wouldn't settle for, if they wouldn't settle for that type of relationship, why do others attempt to have an open relationship with the Lord? You know, I'll take the blessings. I'll take the salvation. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't want to go to hell. Definitely don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Do want you to get me out of my troubles. Love that. Love the healing. That's all cool.
All right.
But this Lord stuff, this eat my flesh, drink your blood stuff, this is where I'm having the dilemma. And let me tell you something. It's like we gotta preach all the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Jesus comes to take over. He's not an addition. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only serve one and despise the other. We share this often. But only 81% of believers, according to George Barna, this is staggering. 81% of Christians actually read the Word of God, and only 3% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Right.
Contrast that to what Jesus says, that you should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not to mention that in Matthew 7, where it says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I call that speaking English. I will talk to them plainly.
Right.
I never knew you.
Mm.
Away from me. This is Jesus. I encourage you to read the Word of God slowly.
Yeah.
You can burn through, you know, just read through. No, this is not a speed reading exercise.
It's not a textbook.
No. If you have to, put your index finger on each word. You know, I used to read real fast. I had to slow myself down years ago and putting my finger on each word to really think about what's being said here. Away from me. You evildoers. A little extra there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
This is Jesus says. And we're seeing a pattern here that people don't have a problem saying, Lord, Lord. But let me tell you, God's not interested in what you're saying about his lordship. He's interested about what you're doing, the fruit in your life that shows that he is the Lord. And it's very simple. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'm going to say that again for you.
Do that again.
Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Wow.
The question is how is your walk?
Mm.
God is not interested in your talking. He's interested in your walking. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about talking our way into God. This is about having a fruitful relationship. And Jesus, he just asked the question. This is important. He asked the question. Why do you say to me? Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, it's not what we say who Jesus is, but it's what's happening in, you know, it's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And, you know, Jesus asked a question. He said, man, you know, who, you know, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? And it's so important because your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And God's not interested in what we're talking. He's interested in how we're walking, right?
That's right.
And the question is, why do we do this? You know, why do you do this? And this is a question really based out of love. If you understand God's heart, he's asking in our heart. He wants us to think about this. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test.
Mm.
I mean, this is the Apostle Paul talking. It's like, you know, he spoke English too. You know, he spoke English. He just put it out there plain. We got to examine ourselves.
I think he spoke Greek.
Yeah, Greek, Hebrew.
Arabic.
Actually, Hebrew. But
you're right, Arabic.
But examine yourself. Examine yourself. Now, I'd rather examine myself on this side of eternity than, you know what I'm saying, on the other side, it's going to be a little too late. I don't want to do that examination. But I want to do it on this side. And it's important to evaluate our walk. Is our walk matching our talk? With everything that's happening in America, I mean, almost every day, every week, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment around the globe, especially in America. And we're seeing the judgment of God. And we know that the answer for America, you know, is not for the world to get right. It's for the church to get right first, right?
That's right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As we said, you know, Al Gore just invented the internet, according to him. And this is before we had multiple internets, when George W. said we have internets, you know, which is a minor. I mean, how many, think about that. How many times have we, you know, we make humorous clips of these tournaments.
Tournaments.
It's chaos. Wrestling.
Yes. And I've been trying to practice that the other day.
Did you?
Wrestling. My chin's got to go out to say it right. And so
it's called denunciation.
Oh, that wasn't funny.
And that's a what?
Tournament about this? You know, tournaments who can spell enunciate? The this is like the telephone. Hey, I'm going to talk to you. Like, can you move the phone somewhere around the vicinity of your mouth?
Your mouth.
Hey, I want to talk to you.
Hey, can you leave me alone? Okay. Right. All right, okay. let me adjust it now. Wrestling, What else do you want to talk about? Statistic, likely. Let me get the mic ready here. What do you want to talk about?
You're tearing up the set, bro. Okay. Hold on. Chill out.
All right. So,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If we do four things, then God will do three things. He already told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, then I, God, will what? Hear from heaven, one, will forgive their sin, two, and will heal their land, three. Mm. We got to begin to what? Humble ourselves, right? Stop trying to get God to bless what you want to do. God will bless what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bless our plans. He's going to bless his plans. And instead of asking God to approve of what you want to do, ask God. Ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. The second thing is we pray. We have communion with God. We open the doors to fellowship. And when you pray, you're just simply communicating with God, which is a twofold experience, right?
Right.
Involves talking and listening, right? Prayer positions us to hear what God wants to say. And many have reduced prayer to a laundry list of things for God to do. And God, could you do them quickly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have failed to recognize the great privilege of communing with God. And then what that does, it allows us, it positions us to be able to seek God's face. I mean, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So we're talking about seek his face. What is it, seek his face? Well, you'll never seek after God if you don't communicate with him, right? So you got to pray. But seeking his face means that you seek him with pure motives, that you're not seeking his hand, his provision, or what you want him to do for you, but you're eagerly seeking out the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. You know, Paul said, this was Paul's confession, okay? Paul's confession of Romans 1:1. He says, I am a devoted slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They opened their letter saying, let me introduce myself to you. I am the slave of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In case you didn't know,
right.
Let me make it plain. A devotion to one, to another, without a regard of one's own interests. Listen to that. A devotion to another without a regard to one's own interests. When you encounter God, like we talked about yesterday, when you encounter Jesus, you just want to give yourself and say, listen, the life that I have, this little life, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. Mm. Why? Because God's will has become now your will. Because God's desires have become what? Your desires.
Right.
You've traded your dreams for, guess what? His dreams. His dreams. In fact, his desires have become your dream. And we seek after his heart of love. And this is important. This is all good. All these first three are really nice. But it really has to end, right? This is where the walking gets walking,
mm-hmm.
right? Is when we begin to turn, repent from wicked ways. This is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Holy Ghost party, right? Everyone loves the glory of God. But the glory of God don't come without, you gotta have repentance. And repentance is turning away from the sins. In fact, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I mean, let this thing show up in your life, right?
Right.
And then what God's going to do? You know, when we get serious with God, what's going to happen? God's going to get serious with us. Mm-hmm. So he's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Listen, if we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then God, in response to our first action, God, in response to what we actually walked out, will respond back to us. And the first thing he says is, listen, I'm going to hear you. To have access to God, that he actually hears you, he hears your heart, he hears your prayer, he's going to hear us. Second thing he's going to do is he's going to forgive us. Let me say, the greatest need we have right now is for God to forgive us of the wickedness that we have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have compassion, right? He'll forgive us and he'll heal our land. And our land needs so much healing. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. So he says, I will show you. Jesus, let me make it plain for you again. He goes on to say in Luke 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Right? He talks about a house, and he makes this comparison about a house that's built on the right foundation and then a foolish foundation. When he talks about the house being built on the right foundation, he says this house has a foundation that when the storms come, when the torrents come, when the winds come to take it out, it stands in the end. But then there's, you know, a foolish builder, right, who builds on a house with no foundation. Let me go back and say this, that if you build your house on the right foundation, the spirit, your spiritual house, if you build the foundation on Jesus Christ, it's, listen, the storm reveals what your house made out of. Mm-hmm. But then there's a foolish builder, right? You have two options. It has, you know, he didn't build on a foundation. And the thing about it is that it has an outward appearance. People have an outward appearance that your spiritual house is in order. But in reality, it's all a facade. Your house has no foundation. It's built on weak, shifty sand. And when the storms come, when the torrent wind comes, your spiritual house collapses in on itself. So Jesus is making it clear. Listen, don't call me Lord, Lord. Don't play church. Don't have religion. Don't hang around the cross, right? Get on the cross. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and you're not even following. You have no relationship with me. You're not putting my words into practice. You're talking, but you're not walking. You're merely fooling yourselves because there's a time coming. There's a wind that's coming. There's a storm that's coming to your life. And if you don't know me, just knowing about me, being familiar with me is not going to be enough. You got to build your house on the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving us a loving warning. We can't give God lip service because in the end, both these houses look alike. But what's going to happen to the house that's not built on the right foundation? And many today have settled for a form of godliness. It's a form, just a little bit of Jesus, just enough religion, just enough to blend with the crowd, and they have staked their eternal life on that. And then they keep building on it. They keep building and building, married, kids, careers, everything, religious stuff. But they didn't really truly encounter God. Never lived totally surrendered to him. And in the end, when you realize that it was all for naught, it was all a waste. When the storm comes, you really find out what your house is really made out of. And how many homes have been destroyed? Literally destroyed. And you're literally holding on to broken 2x4s and busted windows and doors. And it's a sad way for it all to end. And that's why we can take heed to what Jesus is saying. He's warning us. He's asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to encourage you that if you call him Lord and you're doing what he says, then when the wind comes and you've made Jesus your foundation, you will stand and you will remain in Christ. You will remain in Christ. We have a choice today. We have a choice, church. We have a choice, church. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to build on a solid, true relationship with Jesus Christ on the rock? Or are we going to build on sand for sand and have a facade of a relationship? I want to tell you something. There's nothing like building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters, and he'll be faithful to the end.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.